What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to orthosensi.com to learn more. That's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis Thayer. Glad to be with you again this Monday evening to get you caught up on all things in high school sports as the fall sports season is well underway. It's hard to believe that week one of the high school football season is already out of the way, and I do want to recap that first week of the season and look ahead to this coming Friday evening. Now, we got our high school football broadcast schedule started on Friday in St. Leon as the East Central Trojans were victorious over Lawrenceburg 38-3, so I want to start with that game and break it down a little bit. I did not call the game, but I was there and have some observations from this game and some thoughts on these two teams as they get the ball rolling on the 2022 season. Now, I thought it was a very interesting start to the game. Lawrenceburg received the opening kick. They had their first drive stall, and then a low snap on the punt attempt gave East Central the ball in the red zone for their first possession. But on East Central's first play, Noah Kaniga forces Josh Ringer to fumble, and that gave the Tigers the ball back and new life in this game. But again, Lawrenceburg, a little struggle on offense. Second drive stalls, another low snap on the punt. East Central starts their second possession in the red zone, and the Tigers defense once again holds strong, and East Central has to settle for a field goal. So at that point, looked like the game was going to be a little bit of a dogfight based on how the Tigers defense responded. We've talked a lot about East Central's offensive firepower with junior cornerback Cole Burton back with his star junior running back Josh Ringer, Eli Aston, Ryan Brotherton and company at wide receiver. We knew that this team had the capability of putting some big points on the board even early in the season when they're still trying to, you know, maybe get the chemistry clicking once again from the 2021 season. But Tigers come out and only give up 3 points after two drives in the red zone that started in the red zone. And I'm thinking, okay, Lawrenceburg might be able to hang around in this game. And they did through the first quarter, down just 10-0 at the end of the first frame. But East Central's offense did get clicking in the second quarter, scoring 21 points in that quarter alone and was up 31-0. Nothing at the half. For Lawrenceburg, they just couldn't muster any offense. 47 plays, only 65 yards. That's a yard, 1.4 yards per play, excuse me. So a lot of new faces on the Lawrenceburg offensive side of the ball. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But like I said, on the flip side, East Central really got it rolling there in the second quarter and kept their foot on the gas pedal into the third quarter. 370 yards of total offense after those first two drives, which probably didn't sit well with the players and the coaches on that EC sideline. You get the ball in the red zone twice, you want to come away with more than 3 points. But mentioned quarterback Cole Burton, fantastic as a sophomore, and he is off to a great start in his junior campaign as he was our Wardway Fuel star of the game. 17-21 passing, 279 yards and 3 touchdowns. Senior Eli Aston was his top target out there as he picked up right where he left off from an all-state season as a junior, career high 10 receptions, 152 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then Ryan Brotherton, who was really the big play man down the field, 3 receptions for 86 yards and a touchdown. They were really trying to stretch the field with Brotherton, who's got electric speed. He's also a tall receiver, so can go up and high point the football as well. So they used him more in those let's bomb it down the field type situations, whereas Eli Aston was kind of that short to intermediate route wide receiver for Burton in this particular game. Lots of 4 wide sets for East Central. That made Lawrenceburg kind of have to pick their poison. If you empty the box and try to slow down the receivers, then it's a simple handoff to Ringer or Omer and let them kind of work behind that offensive line. If you keep your linebackers in the box like Lawrenceburg did for much of the night, then the receivers are able to play in single coverage. One of the observations I made about the Tigers' defensive backs is they played well off the line of scrimmage, trying to limit the big plays down the field with the speed of Brotherton and Aston and some of the others, but that allowed Burton and Aston to play easy pitch and catch on bubble screen passes and then let Aston cook with his speed and elusiveness. Again, the career-high 10 receptions, I'd say about half of those came on bubble screens. Defensively, East Central was stout, great play up front. Their front seven was tremendous. thought their linebackers really did a nice job. A couple of coverage sacks, so the new players in the secondary really kind of stood out. Carson Kelling, starting at corner, had an interception in this game. Andrew Roy had a nice outing as well. You got Jeremy Proctor playing in the back as a safety. Jace Dorsey was rotating in as well. Chase Bellman and Carson Pazonka, all those guys were rotating in and out as we expected to see, as Coach Miners was on this program just a few weeks back and said they have about six guys in the secondary replacing those four starters from a year ago that they like and are really excited about each and every one of those individuals, so they can play a little bit and rotate guys, keep guys fresh on that side of the ball. So I was pretty impressed with their coverage against a couple speedy receivers from Lawrenceburg, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. Do want to mention the kicking game here in this East Central Lawrenceburg game as well. Nathan McPhee taking over for Sophie Browndyke, who was one of the best kickers not only in the area but in the state over the last couple of years, did nail a 27-yarder in the first quarter. Quality field goal right there. And then on the flip side, Ryan Hemthorne, this was really the highlight of the night for the Lawrenceburg Tigers, just 3 points on the board, but it was a 43-yard field goal for Hemthorne. And I watched him a little bit in the pregame warmups, and he was consistently burying kicks from the 35-40-yard range, or at least having enough leg to be able to bury those, but super accurate on that 43-yarder for Lawrenceburg's only score of the game. Do want to talk a little bit about some of the new faces on the Lawrenceburg offense. Of course, that great senior class that we talked a little bit about last week with head coach Ryan Kniga right here on this show. Garrett Yoon was a four-year starter at quarterback. He's playing college ball now. Ashton Craig, we know all about him, playing at the University of Notre Dame now. We have Daya Patel, who was a preferred walk-on at Ball State, so there was a lot of talent in that senior class, and we knew there was going to be some new faces, but certainly some faces that have the Tigers excited about what they're going to be able to do as they progress through this season and beyond. But Logan Ahouse, junior quarterback, getting his first start and first real true test at the varsity level. 7-for-12, 50 yards, did throw the interception. He kind of forced that ball on a third and long, and Carson Kelly was able to jump in front of the receiver near the sideline for that interception. That's one where Logan's going to learn down the road that he's going to have to just chunk that one out of bounds, live to play another down, and punt the ball away, set your defense up a little bit better. Tegan Bennett, not a new face. He was a really great running back for the Tigers last year, particularly towards the end of the season, and the Tigers expecting big things out of him, but we don't know when we're going to see him next. 8 carries, 25 yards, and was injured during this game. Had to be carried off the field by a couple of his teammates. Looked like a leg injury. Don't know if it was a knee or an ankle. I don't want to speculate too much, but looked fairly significant with him not being able to put any pressure on his leg to get off of the field. Nico Ferreira, who is a standout linebacker, the EIAC 3A defensive MVP last year, he flipped over and played some running back once Tegan went out. 8 carries, 55 yards. He actually looked mighty impressive running the ball, so he looks to be the featured back until Tegan Bennett can get back. Maverick Jesse carried the ball a couple times as well. He looks to get some more playing time with Tegan Bennett's injury as well. Other skill players on the offensive side of the ball, Alex Witte at tight end, Braden Combs, and Hayden Saylor at wide receiver. Those three in particular, along with Daya Patel, were state qualifiers in track and field this past spring, so we know that these young men have some great speed. They were limited by that East Central defense and secondary week one, but I think some big plays out of these young men as they move forward this season. Defensively for Lawrenceburg, all four starting linebackers back with Noah Kniga, Alex Witte, Nico Ferreira, and Jake Pierce. I thought they all played pretty well against EC. So now we'll shift their focus to Ohio rivals for East Central. They'll take on Harrison this Friday. Harrison blanked by Wyoming 35-0 last week, and Lawrenceburg will take on Taylor at home. Taylor shut out Greenan 20-0 in their opener. And, of course, we will bring you the Battle of I-74 from Harrison High School on Friday, 6:40 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock kickoff. Myself and Bill Smith will be on the call as East Central looks to go to 2-0. Harrison trying to get to 1-1 on the season. And last year, 42-0 win for East Central. They've won the last three matchups, I believe, in this particular rivalry, and this will be the first game played at Harrison in a couple of years. They missed the 2020 season due to COVID. They didn't have teams crossing state lines to play one another, so the last couple of years has been at East Central, so Harrison will be thrilled to be the home team and looking forward to seeing that huge new scoreboard that they just installed last week. Quality facilities at Harrison. If you're not able to make it out to the game on Friday, we have you covered here at your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Let's talk about the South Dearborn Knights off to a 1-0 start, 28-0 victory over Jennings County at home on Friday. And the Knights hoping to put together back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in quite some while. And in order to do that, they need to win the games they are supposed to win. And they did that on Friday, defeating a Jennings County program that has not produced more than three wins in a season since 2015. And South Dearborn tossed the ball around quite a bit. We talked to Coach Ballard and some of his star players just a few weeks back, and he indicated it's going to be a little different looking offensive style for South Dearborn. He indicated that they were going to be a really fun team to watch, playing a little bit more up tempo this season. And Adam Kunkel, junior quarterback, coming back from starting as a sophomore, completed 22 of 38 attempts for 201 yards and two touchdowns. Hutchinson Shackelford was his top target, 7 catches for 78 yards and a 15-yard TD reception. Ollie Babcock found the end zone, 1 catch on a 24-yard TD. And the top returning receiver for the Knights, Austin Ballard, 6 catches for 58 yards to get his season campaign underway. On the ground, South Dearborn ran for 110 yards, mostly behind C.J. Evans and Caden Gump. And then defensively, the Knights were pretty stout, allowed 186 yards total, 46 passing, 140 rushing, held Jennings County to 1 of 12 on third down conversions. Pretty clean game, all things considered, for South Dearborn. They did have a couple of turnovers, only one penalty, so a pretty good game all around defensively. Braden Johnson, Brady Ballard, Ashton Kittle, Dylan Wynn, Ryan Willoughby among the standouts there. So South Dearborn off to a good start in a intriguing Week 2 matchup, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment. Perhaps the game of the week from week one of the high school football season, Rushville and Milan. Devastating loss for Milan, all things considered, because they had a fairly big lead heading into the fourth quarter, but it is Rushville that wins, coming from behind 41-35. It was 35-19 entering the fourth quarter. The Lions scored 16 unanswered points to win the ball game. Braden Rohrig, I thought, had a nice outing for his first start of this season. Was a starting quarterback last year, 8 of 15, 77 yards, had a touchdown through the air, no turnovers, which was a big point of emphasis for him and this team, was to cut down on turnovers in the 2022 season. He also had 60 rushing yards and two touchdowns. Riley Johnson, the star of the game for Milan, 24 carries, 218 yards and two touchdowns. And Johnny Volk, who they're excited about at wide receiver, 4 receptions for 56 yards and a touchdown. I do want to talk about a couple young men from Rushville. Austin Vance, their quarterback, excellent in this game, 217 yards passing. He had 4 touchdowns to 4 different receivers. Then Harper Miller, their running back, goes for 131 yards as Rushville gets the come-from-behind victory. Some of the other scores from Friday, Newcastle and Franklin County. This was a good ball game. Newcastle ends up edging the Wildcats 18-12 in overtime. All 12 Franklin County points were scored in the first half. Turnovers were the issue in this game. Quinn Gilman starting at quarterback again this year. 3 interceptions in this game. Brady Moorhead, who used to play quarterback, played quarterback as a freshman due to an injury to their senior quarterback at the time, had 186 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, as he's the primary running back for Coach Gilman. But 301 yards rushing, nearly 400 yards total offense. Anytime you get 400 yards of total offense, you think you're going to put up more than 12 points, and you're probably going to win the game. So the turnovers were the killer for Franklin County in their Week 1 matchup. Speaking of Week 1 matchups, we'll roll on and talk about Indian Creek and Batesville a little bit. This is potentially a sectional matchup preview, as Indian Creek will join the what we call around here the EIAC sectional. Centerville's also new to that sectional, and South Dearborn as well, but Indian Creek getting the 37-25 win over Batesville. That game was played at Franklin College, but again, Indian Creek already making some noise, taking down one EIAC team as they look to be a formidable team in that sectional come October. So we'll be keeping our eye on Indian Creek throughout the year to track their progress and see how they stack up against the rest of the sectional teams based on wins and losses, the statistics, the Sagarin ratings. I like to look at all of that stuff when comparing teams. And a shout-out to the Switzerland County Pacers, 1-0 on 32-0 win over Crawford County, behind a big game from quarterback Matthew Davis, 64 yards passing and a touchdown, also rushed for 125 and two scores on the ground. Running back Gavin Reese, 9 carries, 89 yards, so good yards per carry there, had a touchdown, and Gabe Rose leading the defense with 7 tackles. And if you are a Switzerland County fan and want to hear them on the radio, our sister station, Wiki Country 95.3, will be bringing you the Switzerland County, Carroll County game this coming Friday. You can learn more on the Wiki website. That's 953wiki.com. They also have information about their broadcast on their Twitter page as well. But speaking of this Friday, notable games in the area. Batesville at Milan. This is going to be a fun one because it's a Ripley County rivalry. And you also have this as the first game for Milan on their brand new turf. The field looks absolutely stunning. They have new visitor bleachers now, new scoreboard as well. Everything is looking awesome out there at Milan, and these are going to be two hungry teams coming off of losses, so they're both going to be eager to get a bad taste out of their mouth and get their first win of the 2022 season. Should be a fun one out in Milan. I mentioned South Dearborn in an intriguing second week matchup at Madison, and they split with the Cubs last year. Madison was able to knock them off in the regular season in week two in Aurora, and that was a game that South Dearborn felt like they were the better team and should have won that game, and they certainly proved that in the opening round of the section when they went to Madison and blew them out 54-0. Maybe it was 57. It was 50-something-0. It was a lot to a little, and South Dearborn is hoping to repeat that performance on the road at Madison this Friday. I mentioned Lawrenceburg going to host Taylor for their home opener. The Tigers have won the last 5 in that series. We will be at Harrison, as I mentioned, for the Battle of I-74 East Central coming to town. Franklin County and Connersville going to lock horns. That will be a conference game. Those two teams on the same side of the conference as East Central and Lawrenceburg, and I mentioned Gallatin County game, not Carroll County. They'll be playing Gallatin County this Friday, heard on Wiki Country 95.3. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. All right, want to talk a little soccer and volleyball to round out the show this evening in boys soccer. Want to start with South Dearborn. They are off to an excellent start, 3-0 on the season, 8-0 win over Calvary Christian, and back-to-back 7-1 wins over EIAC teams at Greensburg and Rushville. So all that math put together, 22 goals, 2 allowed. Dana Lewis off to a great start, 6 goals, 4 assists. He scored 28 last year. He has aspirations of scoring over 30, and he wants to break the single season record, which is I think somewhere upwards of 40 goals. Brody Tiki having a great start to the season as well, 4 goals, and Jason Hale with 3 goals and 5 assists. You have 4 others with 2 goals, so the Knights spreading the ball around early on this season. They will be at Jennings County on Wednesday, and then home versus a very tough East Central team on Thursday. Number 15 ranked team in 2A, Lawrenceburg, off to a 2-1 start. Had a tough loss to Connersville over the weekend, 2-1, but they do have wins against Oldenburg and Jacksonville. Jacksonville, the number 11 ranked team in 1A. 10 goals, 4 allowed so far for the Tigers. They are playing at Rising Sun as we speak, and then a big match against Batesville at home on Thursday. And we're going to welcome in the Lawrenceburg Tigers boys soccer program next week right here on this program, and we will talk to them ahead of their home game with Connor next Tuesday. So looking forward to having Coach Yeoman and some of his players in the studio to talk Tigers soccer. East Central 2-0 so far this year. 4-0 win over Seymour and a 2-0 win over Franklin Central. NKU commit JT Roden off to a good start with 4 goals. Joseph Black leads the team with 2 assists. They'll be at South Dearborn on Thursday and then have Avon coming down to St. Leon on Saturday from the Indianapolis area. Another notable start, Switzerland County is 2-0 on the season. They've scored a lot of goals so far. 16-0 win against Austin and also won 5-0 against Carroll County. Cooper Todd, 6 goals, 4 assists. Levi Curlin, 3 goals, 2 assists. And 3 of their top 4 goal scorers so far are sophomore or younger. So this is a team to look out for not only this year but beyond. Be at Jacksonville and at Rising Sun this week. Speaking of Jacksonville, they're 1-1 on the season. Win against Milan, a loss to Lawrenceburg. Milan is 1-3. They did pick up their first win, 5-2 over Lanesville on Saturday. South Ripley is off to a 2-2 start. Braden Dilk and Gavin Binion have been strong performers for the Raiders. And Rising Sun off to a 0-0-2 start with draws against Franklin County and Trinity Lutheran. And as mentioned, in progress against Lawrenceburg as we speak. Girls soccer, notable teams in the area. Number 15 in Class 3A, East Central off to a 3-1 start. Lost their opener 1-0 to Center Grove. Always very good at just about every sport. And then rattled off 3 wins in a row against Franklin County, Lawrenceburg, and Baden. 16 goals, only 2 allowed so far this year. Olivia Hopper leading the team with 6 goals. And then Lexi Watkins, Paige Callahan, Caitlin Dick, and Erica Hill, 2 goals each. South Dearborn on Thursday, Highlands out of Kentucky on Saturday. South Dearborn started the season number 15 in 2A, off to an 0-2 start. They've had a brutal schedule. St. Henry and Connor out of Northern Kentucky, 9-0 and 4-0 losses to those very, very solid teams. And then they have Taylor, number 18, Batesville, looming after the East Central game. So the schedule does not let up for the Lady Knights, but we still believe that they are going to be a very strong team, particularly in the sectional towards the end of the season, obviously. Number 19, Lawrenceburg, they're also off to an 0-2 start. Were defeated by number 14, Oldenburg Academy, out of 1A, 2-1, and then lost 3-0 to East Central. And schedule doesn't really get easier for them as well, with North Central coming to town on Saturday. Wanted to mention Batesville, off to a 3-0 start. They're averaging 10 goals a game. 30 goals over the 3-game winning streak. Elena Keisel with 7 goals and Billy Puente with 6. So, those two young ladies absolutely getting it done for Batesville, scoring almost half of their goals through the first 3 games. Switzerland County, 3-0. They've scored 22 goals, only allowed 1. Hallie Archer with 9 goals. Mackenzie Taylor has 4. Emma Parsons with 3. And Claire Rogers with 4 assists to lead the team. Those wins coming over South Ripley, Madison, and Milan. They have Carroll County tonight and will play Southwestern on Wednesday. Records for some other area teams: Rising Sun 0-2, Milan 0-2, and South Ripley 1-1, again in girls soccer. Also wanted to hit on volleyball here before we wrap up the show. Lawrenceburg off to a 2-0 start. Wins over Connersville and North Decatur. That North Decatur match in particular was a really good one. 3-2, back and forth. That was a fun one. Lizzie Reeder, Natalie Kaniga, Nicole Howes, Ivy Hinkle, Megan Gailey, Lola Safavian, among the top performers for Lawrenceburg thus far, and they're going to take on 7-0 Greensburg on Tuesday. It will be a non-conference match. They'll play again later this season, which will count towards the conference, but Greensburg looks to be maybe the best team in the area, so that'll be a good test for Lawrenceburg coming up on Tuesday. And we do have the Lawrenceburg Tigers volleyball program on the docket for a future episode of Crunch Time. That's coming several weeks from now. It'll be closer to the end of the season sectional time, but looking forward to having them on and chatting about their season. East Central, which is usually has a very, very strong volleyball team, and that's not to say that they won't this year, but the record, not where they want it to be after 5 games, 1-4 already played that very good Greensburg team. They've also have losses to Lawrence North, Greenwood Christian, and Indianapolis Cecina. So they have played a very tough schedule. They did score a win over South Dearborn. They have Rushville tomorrow, followed by Batesville on Thursday, and then Brownstown Central on Saturday. So three opportunities perhaps for East Central this week to maybe get themselves back to 500 in the win-loss column. As for South Dearborn, 1-2 on the season. Their losses coming to Southwestern and East Central. The one win against Milan. They're playing Switzerland County tonight, have Rushville on Thursday. So a couple wins, and they'll be right back in good standing. And then Rising Sun, 3-1 so far. Wins over Eastern Hancock, Morristown, and Switzerland County. Did lose to Northeastern, but Jenna Peelman, Sydney Halloran, Tamron Miller, Bailey Morris, and Josie Bronner have been playing really well for the Shiners so far this season. Other standings, or other records for teams, excuse me, in the area, Milan 0-2, South Ripley 2-1, and Jacksonville off to an 0-6 start in volleyball. So, there are some of your top performers, top performing teams, a little recap from what's been going on so far here in the fall season. I know there's a little bit of an emphasis on football this time of the year, as we covered that sport very, very closely with our high school football broadcast each and every Friday. As mentioned, East Central at Harrison coming up this Friday, 6:40 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock kickoff from Harrison High School. Myself and Bill Smith will bring you the call as East Central looks to go to 2-0, while Harrison looking for their first win in this early 2022 season. But a big rivalry game, week two here at your hometown radio station, can also be heard online at EagleCountryOnline.com. So whether you're going to the game or not, you can tune us in as always, and we appreciate you listening to your hometown radio station and our high school sports broadcast. Also appreciate you tuning in to Crunch Time. Another big thanks to OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for their continued sponsorship and support of high school athletics. They are the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthosensi.com to learn more about their services. And this very show, Crunch Time, as I mentioned, we have a great guest lined up next week. As for the first time ever, we're going to welcome on the Lawrenceburg Tigers boys soccer program, Coach Yeoman, and a few of his star players going to be in studio to talk all things Tigers soccer, Tigers football. You could also call it just a different type of football, but very much looking forward to that chat coming up next week right here on Crunch Time, which airs 6 to 6:30 every Monday. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and thank you for listening to your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.